ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, ¡golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Tuesday, October 16th, 2018. Dwayne, it's Nations League Day tonight. Canada-Dominica at BMO Field, and this is not known until, I didn't know until this morning, and I always imagine if I don't know, watching soccer and soccer news basically on an hourly basis, not a lot of people do know. It's on TSN. It's on TSN 2 tonight. But first of all, good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning. Yeah, it was a late decision to add it to TSN, and that's a good thing. I think we should celebrate whenever the teams are on there, because it does cost money. I'm sure what it is that they looked at this and
Canada bought the time. Like, okay, we're buying, we want to be on, so here you go. Here's some money to you.
Yeah, and it's less expensive for them than it would be if it was at a place where they aren't, you know, set up to consistently broadcast out of, right?
They literally just need to plug the things in. Like, they know where the camera goes. Yeah, pay the staff for the night. It's just a little an hour drive maybe with all the equipment and the traffic from their head office in Scarborough. And it's not too far, so for TSN it's that, but Canada paid for it, right?
Yeah, and that's a good thing to have going on. I mean, it's unfortunate that we didn't get to see Women's World Cup qualifying on there, but they're going to come down.
Because Fresco, Texas is Peru, obviously, and it's a little bit more difficult, I guess. The games were shown, they were streamed, they were live, and it was HD stream, so how difficult is it to just buy the stream and show it on TV anyways?
Well, the streams are free too. I mean, the idea behind this CONCACAF TV is that we'll get to see the under 20 qualifying in what, 3 weeks now, 2 weeks now. So there are some advantages to signing to that thing up. They are planning to charge something for it in the new year, but right now it is free. And I mean, yeah, we already pay a lot for soccer. It'd be nice to have one that's a little cheaper, but we'll see what the price is when that comes out full time. I'll just probably end up kicking in for it anyway.
Put it on the zone so we don't have to pay like 20,000 different ones.
Yeah, that would be just put it on one place. Yeah, I guess I was very busy yesterday, so I wasn't able to get on the show. So I guess quickly before we move on and get into the Tata news, want to say congratulations to the Canadian women, obviously, for getting the job done, going back to another World Cup. Not surprising, but nonetheless, you still had to beat the teams in front of you. And Christine Sinclair, only 7 goals to go. Last year at this time, we were debating whether she would be able to get it. Now I think the debate is when she will get it.
And you know what I was saying yesterday on the show? That the way it looks right now, just add a few goals in a couple of friendlies until next summer, and probably the first game of the knockout stage, she gets the record.
Yeah, it's going to be close to the World Cup. If you know, 7 goals, let's say, maybe let's be charitable and give her one more in this tournament. That would be nice if she could score against the U.S. Tomorrow in a game that it does matter more than these things usually do, I think, because there was no competition for either of these teams in this tournament. So having the chance to fully measure themselves against the U.S. I think is important. I have some concerns about how this is going to go.
That's because we're used to it. Because we've seen the U.S. play Canada many, many times, and we've seen the movie. Doesn't end well.
Yeah, and the plot, you know, sometimes it's like a tragic loss, other times it's just, you know, a beatdown. So I'd like to follow something in between there. Maybe just once. You'd think after, what, like 15 years that you'd find a way to, I don't know, edge out something here and there. I think there's only been like 3 draws in that 15 years too, which makes this even more difficult to wrap your head around. But
one thing's for sure, there won't be a draw Wednesday. That's for sure, because it's the CONCACAF. Why is it not branded the Gold Cup? I don't understand that. And French CBC actually said Gold Cup. I'm like, sure, why not? It's a CONCACAF championship. It should be the Gold Cup anyways. But the women's CONCACAF championship final is tomorrow, and the semifinal versus Panama and Jamaica is tomorrow as well. We'll continue our international break discussion in a few minutes. But first of all, Dwayne, the crew saved. I talked about that yesterday, too. The owner of the Browns, Alsam family, and the Edwards family might have found a way to save the crew, so that's positive. Just get your quick thoughts on it before we move to Martino.
Well, obviously, it's good news. I think it's pretty much a done deal. Obviously, there's some I's to cross and T's to dot before we get into that, and I said that on purpose, folks. That's
I'm like, what? Still... What? There's no dots? What?
Yeah, exactly. At any rate, we got some stuff that's like coat of paint. Paint a coat. But nonetheless, yeah, it's good news, obviously, and we're happy to do it. I mean, look, is Austin going to be the most hated team in MLS off the hop? Probably. I don't understand why MLS wants to play, be in bed with three-quarter. Are they not desperate for investors? He doesn't seem like that solid of an owner to me, but I guess at this point, if they can wiggle another expansion out of it, and that's maybe ultimately what this came down to is money, right? Like, they weren't expecting to have another expansion fee, but by this quote-unquote solution,
yeah,
now they're justifying another expansion. Basically.
Well, they for sure made a deal with Precourt that doesn't have to fork out $150 million, for sure. They're probably like, yeah, you know what? We'll take care of you in due time. Let's just make sure there's no riots in Columbus. Let's reassure that situation. And then we'll get you a team.
Yeah, well, I think the Browns are probably going to pay the expansion fees with the idea and then immediately get the rights to the Columbus and their history. And then Precourt can start with a clean sheet down there. And God bless you, Austin. You're stuck with this guy. You got to dance with who brought you. So don't complain if he has a wandering eye down the line.
You know, I have a word to describe Precourt professionally. I never met the person. I never talked to him. But his decisions over the last few years, you know, it rhymes with sneezebag. Let's just put it this way.
Yeah, it's this is the type of ownership that I mean, the NHL was famous for kind of having guys that were a little dodgy, and we're not suggesting there's anything like truly like legal here or anything like that, but he just doesn't seem like his business practices don't seem completely in line with what you want to associate with your league. But that's probably part of the growing pains when you're a league like this. You know, as much as we like to think MLS has caught up to the other major leagues, well, you're looking at leagues in the youngest of what of the NBA, which is from the what, 50s or 40s, right? So, like, these have so much history and established in their markets that to think that MLS would be on the same playing table this 20 years in is ridiculous, right? So they kind of have to take the money where they can get it at this point, and that's part of this growing pains. Hopefully they can stabilize down the road.
Now let's move to the big rumor that started a few weeks ago, but it's getting a lot of traction, and now some Mexican outlets are saying that Tata Martino, actual head coach right now of Atlanta United FC, will be the new manager of the Mexican national team, L3, and it would be announced the day after MLS Cup, and he would start right then and there. Your thoughts? True? What's going to happen? Did a good decision? Shouldn't he even stay in Atlanta? How much money does Mexico putting in front of him?
Well, first off, I think it's true. I mean, there comes a point, a critical mass, when in these stories like this, where you have to look at them and go, yeah, there's something there, right? And this is the case right now, that this is too many reputable places are talking about this openly now for there not to be some legitimacy to it. So I have no doubt that this will happen. I have no doubt that the plan is to make the announcement either, you know, the Sunday after, I guess it's a Monday or Sunday is when MLS Cup is. So I guess it'd be that Monday, the next day, that they'll probably, you know, announce it and allow him. Well, it probably depends. I imagine that if Atlanta were to win the MLS Cup, maybe they'd give it a couple days. But by and large, the idea is he'll come after the MLS Cup is over. So in terms of what it means to Mexico, I think it's an obvious move for them. They're a program that demands a certain level of star power in their manager. They can't go with an unknown, I don't think, down there. The pressure on it is too great. Will it improve them on the field? I'm not sure. Managers have that big of an influence on countries like Mexico at this point, but he certainly will garner the respect of the players, so that's a positive thing. From his perspective, Kevin, I'll quickly, and then I'll let you jump in. I suspect that he is – well, I know that he's a guy that likes challenges. And if you look at his history, this makes sense that he would move on at about this point. I think it's a bit, you know, disingenuous, I guess, to believe that he's going to stay long, long, long term in Atlanta. No, so I think that's what this is about.
And we have to remember the day-to-day ins and outs of a manager in Major League Soccer – it's not the easiest in the world. There's a lot of travel involved, a lot of hard work, a lot of training session, a lot of getting everyone up to par when you have new players, the training aspect, the education aspect. And he has done a great job, but it wasn't an easy job at any point. He has to put the time in. it's a grind almost as a manager compared to other places, especially compared to an international job. So Tata Martino is not the youngest man in the job. So for him to maybe consider a move to an international team where he will have a lot of pressure, yes, but the day-to-day workload is going to be a little less. The only question I'm asking myself is, when you look at Tata Martino and his good practices and his training sessions, and when you look at the amount of being an educator that he is as a coach that yield results for Atlanta United and other parts of the world that he has coached in, I'm wondering if this can translate into the international world. If you're having Mexico, it's more of a scouting job and managing a very short period of time versus managing, educating, getting players to be better, and then having them perform for you. So that's what I'm wondering. Does that part of Tata Martino's job translate to L3?
Yeah, and look, L3 is a difficult job, too, in terms of the pressure they put on it. You don't get a honeymoon there. He goes out and, you know, loses his first game, especially if it's to the U.S. or another rival.
Tata out. Hashtag Tata out.
Yeah, like that's about the amount of time you're going to get down there before there's going to be people screaming for your head one way or the other. There's just an incredible amount of tabloid press and intense, like, you know, I'm ad like anything you're used to seeing up here as it relates to the NFL in the States or NHL here, and times it by three, basically, and you get kind of what the pressures that are under there, because it's, I don't think, something that we in this part of the world can fully relate to, because I just don't think that we obsess over anything like that in a real way. So yeah, look at it from his perspective too, in terms of why he would move on. Really, he's a guy that's going to look at MLS Cup as ultimately that is something that he wants to win. But I think in his mind, the season that he's had, he's already reached the pinnacle of what he can do in Major League Soccer, right? Because they view the season and the Supporters Shield as probably more of a goal. He's going to look at this in 2 years. He took this team from literally a piece of paper and filled the blanks in to, you know, arguably the best team in the league, if, you know, second best at worst. So what more can you accomplish in Major League Soccer if you're a guy with his resume? And this is an opportunity to take an underperforming international team based on its potential. And I say that at a World Cup level, not at a CONCACAF level, and potentially get them through that, you know, that infamous wall of the round of 16 that Mexico can't seem to get past. And that would be a great challenge for a guy like this. And you just assume that if you're taking over the Mexican national team job, that you're going to make a World Cup.
Yeah. And that would be the reasoning behind it, too. You get him right now, and you got a full cycle to get them ready for a World Cup. Maybe now implementing Tata's system, having time to do so, perfecting it, and seeing the results in the next World Cup in Qatar, probably. So that's the question. Now, the Atlanta side on this. This, the rumors of Miguel Almiron being sold, and we heard the rumors to Arsenal. And apparently those rumors were true, but the figure, well, he can triple that figure, apparently. So that would make more sense. We'll see if it happens. But him, Martinez, probably on his way out, too, just because you have to... his value is never going to be bigger for Atlanta. So you have to find a way to monetize that to counterbalance the amount of investment that Arthur Blank did do in the club. So having those two players leave, Tata Martino leave, does that leave Atlanta in a weird situation where after 2 years of expansion, 2 years of success, 2 years of redefining what an expansion team looks like in Major League Soccer, is it their second expansion starting next year? Do they almost find themselves into a, I don't want to say the R word, so not a rebuild, but you find yourself in a change of philosophy that's probably going to have to come. And it leaves Atlanta in a weird kind of place for 2019 if this all happens.
Yeah, they're going to have a lot of money to spend, and they won't necessarily have the same contacts that they did with Tata in charge, right? He's a guy that instantly got doors opened in a way that maybe others like Greg Vanney doesn't get opened, right? Like, he has an international reputation as opposed to an American reputation. Well, and that's,
let's just put it, look, Tata Martino calls a club in Argentina that has Almiron or Almiron-like player. They take the call, or at least they call back. Greg Vanney or I or you or Brad Friedel, Brad Friedel calls, like, who? Oh, yeah, just put it on the desk. I'll get there.
I'll have a look later, yeah. How much? Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, exactly. He opens those doors, which helps them build them to where they were. Is it going to be a rebuild? No. Is it going to be a reload? Probably, if you understand that distinction. And I don't look, if I'm an Atlanta United fan right now, then I'm, as much as you'd like to think that this is every year you're going to have a chance to win it, and maybe they are, I think this is going to be their best chance to win MLS Cup that they might get in a few years, and it can be fleeting. Just ask anyone in the city I'm sitting in how quickly you can go from the top of the mountain to, like, what the hell just happened?
We started from the bottom, and we're back there.
Well, you know, we'll see how they finish up. It's near the bottom anyway this year, but it's it's completely it's arbitrary, and we'll see.
Now let's move to the CONCACAF Nations League tonight. Canada, Dominica, and I just want to make a little note that I've seen a lot of people on social media say, "Oh, we're facing the Dominican Republic." No, we're not. Dominica is its own country. It's another place. It's not the Dominican Republic, it's Dominica. So, tonight, a strong Canadian lineup. The beginning of Scott Arfield as Canada, Captain Canada, at BMO Field. Ballou will hopefully play tonight and be captain for Canada. Alphonso Davies will continue his rise. Let's see his rise. And we'll have a lot of other great players playing for our great country. What's your score line for tonight?
Oh, over under is 5.5.
That would be good, because the last time Canada played Dominica, it was 1-0 Canada, and Kyle Larin was playing.
Yeah, if it's 1-0, look, as I've said many times before, it bears repeating now, as long as they win all four games, they will finish in the top six. They are mathematically guaranteed to do so if they win all four games. It is impossible for more teams than six to have four wins. So that is the positive. If they were to only win 1-0, but people would be panicking if they were to only win 1-0, because I can tell you right now, just looking at the standings, if they win 1-0, depending on the result of the other ones, they're sitting in sixth or seventh at that point, and you're starting to get a little nervous, and there's less room for error when it comes to the other score lines there. Again, you don't want to get caught up in the goal def too much, because it's only going to matter if they draw one of these games.
Or it's going to matter to see who wins this qualifying round, which is maybe just for optics, maybe just a perception, but we would want Canada to win the qualifying rounds just to put out a statement that we're back, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. You'd rather win it than lose it, but I don't think it might matter for how they draw the Group A. Like, for those that don't know, it's like the European Nations League is how it'll go from here. You're not going to be in one big group. You're going to be playing teams in your own group, and then the top team, first place team, will play the other first place teams for the title in four groups, and the bottom ones will play to stay up. So I think they play to stay up, or they go down, one or the other. I forget which. I'd have to look that up.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it's a simple format once you get into it. But
simple.
But yeah.
I don't know about simple, but it's a format.
It will make sense. It's four groups. You're going to group play, basically. Well, the point I'm making is that it doesn't really matter if they finish first or third or fifth, as long as it's top six. But you want to win all four. You want to make a statement, as you say. If they aren't getting full points, particularly at home against teams like Dominica, which, by the way, is between St. Lucia and the Guadeloupe. So there you go.
It's a nice part of the world.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty south. It's down there in that southern little ring of islands that you probably have stopped in a cruise ship at one point. But it's pretty sunny and warm, and they don't necessarily have a lot of great international footballers, though. So this shouldn't be too much of a battle for Canada tonight.
In the words of Belize, this is not a fully professional team. A lot of people have job. Ahmad Bull.
Yes, exactly. Mad Bull. Look, that's the other than there's like about four or five teams in this entire group of 20 something that you would call fully professional, right? So this is not one of them.
No.
And you've just got to go down and get the job done, and hopefully you can get a cap tie on Blue as well, because if they don't get a cap tie on Blue tonight, then people are going to start to go again, and, even though they're putting videos out with him and everything else.
No, if you're Don Herdman, Blue starts. And Ballou hasn't started a game in a few weeks, too, with Barcelona B. So if I'm John Herdman, just put Ballou out. Find a way to have Ballou, Davies, all your young prospect on there at the same time. Before we take a look at the other games in the CONCACAF Nations League that are being played tonight, let's take a look at the past. The present round of the Nations League, so the second match day, you would say, started on October 12th with the United States Virgin Islands facing Curaçao. Curaçao 5, U.S. Virgin Islands 0. I'm just going to go through the score, Dwayne, and after I'll ask you which one is the outlier. Antigua Barbuda versus Bahamas, 6 for Antigua and Barbuda, 0 for the Bahamas. Bermuda and St. Martin, the Dutch one, 12-0 for Bermuda. Grenada, Cuba. Cuba 2, Grenada 0. Grenada, one of their player there, Siobhan Brown, was one of the standouts in the Canadian Premier League tryout here in Montreal. And there's been a few of players as well from Guyana that was a standout in the Toronto Canadian Premier League trial, so that's interesting. The Dominican Republic played the Cayman Islands, 3 for the Dominican Republic, 0 for Cayman Islands. Martinique 1, Puerto Rico 0, Guyana 5, Turks and Caicos 0. Suriname versus British Virgin Islands, 5-0 for Suriname. El Salvador Barbados 3-0 El Salvador. Saint Kitts and Nevis versus Saint Martin, the French one, 10-0 for Saint Kitts and Nevis. Montserrat versus Belize. Who said Belize has a shot? Because Montserrat 1, Belize 0. Bonaire versus Jamaica. Bonaire? Where the hell is Bonaire? It sounds like a dish from the East Coast. I don't know, that's a Donair. Sorry. Jamaica 6, Bonaire 0. And the last game that was played on the 14th, so Sunday, Nicaragua 6 and Anguilla 0.
Yeah, you asked me what the outlier is. A lot of people were sort of expecting that Belize might be sort of a dark horse team in this. And apparently, unless Montserrat is the dark horse, maybe not. I'm also curious whether they've ever seen a football in St. Martin, either side of the island, before, because a 22-0 combined loss is...
A 22-0 aggregate for the Martin teams?
Yeah, they should have a derby game each year, and they just, it'd be 0-0 after like 700 years, probably, or 700-700, one of the two. I'm not too sure which way that would go, but nonetheless, that's a scary, dangerous thing there. El Salvador seems to be sputtering a little bit, too. I know they won 3-0, but you would hope they'd get a...
right? You would hope that El Salvador, being a team that we've seen before in CONCACAF, and we've seen them perform... maybe not at Canada level, but just below Canada level, and not too far. Like, they beat Canada before. So 3-0 against Barbados, I guess, doesn't say anything.
No, exactly. And that's sort of where I'm a little bit worried for their program moving forward. They've had some problems internally with that program, too. So it makes sense that they're sort of showing up in the scoreline nowadays. But all in all, when you look at these overall results, there's nothing truly shocking here. I'm interested to see the game of the round is St. Lucia Haiti, which, you know, Haiti had the big scoreline in the first game, but there was against St. Martin. So
I guess it doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean much.
Bermuda destroyed them. And St. Kitts and Nevis as well. And we've seen Canada destroy St. Kitts and Nevis. So I guess tonight, St. Lucia, Edie. This one is at 9:15 p.m., so the last game tonight. There's Guadeloupe, Aruba at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Martinique and the British Virgin Islands at 7 p.m. tonight. And, of course, the big game that we'll be following and that we will be watching and we'll be tweeting about at 24th Minute for Dwayne, at Kev Larmé for myself, at 7 p.m., Canada-Dominica. On TSN2.
Yeah, absolutely on TSN2, and we'll be I'll be there getting as much atmosphere as I can out of it. Pre-game party, if you are in the Toronto area, is at Shoeless Joe's, which is famous for where the Red Patch Boys are hanging out during TFC years, so right beside Lamport Stadium, down there. If you've never been there before, it's a decent menu. It'd be a family fun friendly event, so you can bring your kids if that is what you are with, or you can have a couple beers if that's what you're with there too. Either way will work out. After the game, who knows, people will spread into the night. It is a work night, although pot becomes legal tomorrow at midnight, so maybe it'll be one of those days, who knows.
It's true. October 17th. That's tomorrow. It's not only the Women's CONCACAF Championship Final Day. I guess it's Weed Day.
Exactly. I mean, there'll be a whole bunch of people that haven't touched the stuff in like 20 years just for the sake of it going, I think I'll get baked tonight.
Well, tomorrow. Tonight you can. Yeah. Tonight you still get arrested if you get caught.
Wait to midnight. The police are desperately getting their last tickets.
You're like, no, what are you doing? Mr. Ossifer? It's past midnight. Leave me alone.
Yeah, we're good. We're good to go. All right. On that note. Oh, by the way, Bonaire is located just off the coast of Venezuela. Now you know.
Now I know. Knowing
is half the battle. Yeah.
And yes, I know. It's called Donaire, and I love them so much. It's the East Coast famous sandwich. And by the way, if you never had a Donaire, you should.
Isn't it? What's the difference between that and like
It's the sauce. It's the sauce.
Okay.
It's that milk, creamy type of garlicky sauce, and put cheese on it, please. And it's the way it's served. It's very similar to a shawarma sandwich or a gyro sandwich. Those type of pita sandwich that are used in a lot of different places in the Middle East. But here is the quick story of the doner, Dwayne, because you asked
me. Okay.
The doner all meat right. is a Turkish doner meat. That's where it all comes from. But people didn't like the sauces and the things that were putting a doner in. The Maritimes a long time ago, a few decades ago. And the guy's like, well, let me whip up something more sweet to counterbalance this. And boom, doner existed.
So it's a Canadian shawarma, basically, is what it is.
It's pretty much an amalgamation of things that people like, put it in between a piece of bread. And like most of the good places in the world, their best things are found in between two pieces of bread. Or in this case, one big pita.
I'm more of a falafel guy, so...
What? There's no meat in there. There's not even meat in there.
I know. It's a deep-fried bean, though. It's good. It's good stuff. I do like my falafels. Anyway, yes, now we know. There used to be a famous team, for those that are listening outside of Canada, famous, I use the term very loosely, in Halifax, called the King of Donaire, which is where Stephen Hart first started managing his first job.
That's the name of a store, too, so I guess they were their sponsors.
Yeah, they were in the Maritime Soccer League, which was the elite men's soccer league in the Maritimes, and were the dominant team in that for several years in the 90s. So there you go. There's your Canadian tie-in to Donaires.
I hope the Wanderers. By the way, if you want to get your tickets for the Halifax Wanderers, the package is out. They'll start to be selling beginning in November, but you can reserve your seats already. And as every Canadian Premier League team, Dwayne, when you buy a season ticket package, you'll get a Macron jersey. So just for that, I think I'm going to get tickets, even though I might not be able to make it more than one or two game in Halifax. I might want to get that jersey. And hopefully the name on the marquee or on the shirt for the sponsors could be Kings of Donaires, or it could be Donaire something. And that would be the most Canadian, most maritime way to have a good sponsor in front of your jersey.
Unless it was just, you know, poutine and mousse. That's kids, but like, that's not even a company. It's just poutine and mousse. That's what's sponsoring them. That would be the most Canadian shirt sponsor ever. There was a fellow I knew once that had season tickets for TFC The Impact and the Whitecaps. He was a supporter of Canadian soccer and he wanted to buy season tickets for them. I wonder if he's full of money and going to continue that theory and have seven more season ticket packages to buy. Eight, yeah. I guess, if you include the Fury. I have to ask him.
Should be fun. And York 9 is going to have Smokes Poutinerie on their shirt. If there's a Canadian team, or at least if there's a Quebec team, they're going to have a real poutine sponsor, not just a knockoff of our poutine, like Smokes is. And so now we'll get a good thing. So, of course, if it's in the Merit, the ones in the Prairies, it has to be like a wheat company. And in Vancouver, well, I guess pot is legal, so you can have a pot company in Vancouver or something.
There you go. It's only a matter of time. I'm going to say something blasphemous, too. We're talking about food here today. Poutine's not my favorite. I like a good chili fry, but not necessarily poutine. I've never been a big gravy guy.
You like chili fries? You like curry fries? Where are you from? From England or something?
Yeah, that's pretty much what it comes down to. That's where my taste buds lie. Beans on toast too. Rock those up.
Yeah, yeah. If you put mustard on toast, you probably deserves. Anyways, yeah, mustard doesn't go on toast. All right, that's enough. I'm hungry now. So that's enough for today. We'll be back tomorrow with the review of Canada versus Dominica. And no, not the Dominican Republic. As always, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute and myself at Kev Larme. As always, until tomorrow, stay safe, especially after midnight. You know what happens. But for today, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.